to my message to you. And my scripture reading is in Hebrews 9, starting at the 23rd verse. Therefore, it was necessary for the copies of the things in the heavens to be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as a high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this blessed Sabbath. We thank you that you made it for us to enjoy and for us to remember all the great things that you've done for us and have in store for us. And Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on the message, the words that we say. Let it be received and let it help the ones who hear. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. The title of my message to you today is Appointments for 2014. And I think you probably know somewhat what my message to you is going to be about. But I'd like to go over and have copies of this for anybody that wants. You can get it on our website, Christian-sabbath.org. So it's on there. David has reworked it in a really good form. And so you might want to get your copy there. But I have copies also that I arrange also. So I keep these in my briefcase in case you want a copy. But I want to go over the appointed times of the Lord briefly before we go on. You find these appointed times of the Lord in Leviticus 23, a very important chapter, but they're not only just there, they occur many other places in God's Word. Also, even though they might not go into detail in the New Testament, don't ever think that the appointed days of the Lord is not verified in the New Testament as something that we need to be aware of and we need to be doing, and we need to know that God has appointments for us throughout the year 2014. The first appointed day of the year, we might just ought to mention that it is the weekly Sabbath, one day out of seven. God wants us to set apart, rest from our usual routine labors and come to his house and try to be of help to others and to let him know how much we love him. The second is the Passover service. And April the 14th, Monday, is Passover Day. The next is the very next day, Tuesday. It's the first day of unleavened bread, a high Sabbath. And that unleavened bread goes for 7 days. And then April the 21st is the last day of the festival of unleavened bread. Both the first day being that Tuesday and the seventh day being the April the 21st on a Monday is a high Sabbath. Both of them are. You treat that just as you would a weekly Sabbath. Next is the festival of Pentecost on a Sunday, June the 8th, a high Sabbath. Next is September the 25th, the festival of the trumpets, a high Sabbath. October the 4th, Saturday, is the festival of atonement, a high Sabbath. Next, October the 9th, on a Thursday, is the first day of tabernacles, a high Sabbath. October the 9th through the 15th is the 7-day festival of the Festival of Tabernacles. Then October the 16th is that 7th day of Tabernacles. It is the festival of, October the 9th through October the 15th is the 7-day festival of Tabernacles. So the first would be a high Sabbath, and then the 15th would be a high Sabbath. And I think I'm getting it off, but I might be getting it off, but hopefully I'm not. October the 16th, I have on a Thursday, is the festival of the last great day. We don't include that as tabernacles, because tabernacles is only 7 days. So that's the last of the festivals of the Lord for 2014. And I would just say, you know, some people think that there maybe is more. Some even categorize them as the major festivals and the minor festivals. But those are the ones that we're plainly reading about as described one place, and I guess it's the most thorough place, in Leviticus chapter 23. Appointments with Yahweh in 2014. Let's look at our text, which is verse 27 of Hebrews 9. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. And today I want us to focus not only on the appointments that we have with God for the year 2014, but I also want us to realize that there are other appointments, and they are the type that it doesn't depend on us whether we remember them or not, or whether we observe them or not, because they're going to happen regardless. And we make appointments for everything. We make appointments for our hair, our nails, cars, mowers, blowers, taxes, surgeries, weddings, funerals, and the list goes on. The most important appointments that you will ever have already has been made for you by Yahweh. That is appointments for now and then appointments this year. These are years for this year, as I've just described, that's called out in Leviticus 23. There are two appointments, however, for now that for each one that are inevitable, they are inescapable and unavoidable. You will keep these appointments that I'm speaking of, even though you didn't make them. You can't change the appointment. You won't be a split second late. These are the two appointments that you will be on time. And these two are death, your death, and your judgment. And again, let's look at my text, Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. We need to give a lot of consideration and evaluation of our own self and how we are standing before God, because one day we're not only going to die if we're not alive and caught up to meet Yeshua in the air, but we do have an appointment not only to die but to be in front of our judge at that time and be judged. One thing to remember is that death will not keep us or prevent us from keeping our appointment with Yahweh in judgment. We're going to die unless we've caught up to meet Yeshua, and we are going to, regardless of that death and the way that our life ends, we are going to stand before God in judgment. We are going to and are now being judged by God. You know, it's my feeling that we are judged each and every day of our life. Today, yesterday, when every day that we've had in our entire life, we are being judged. Because when Yahweh comes back to this earth the second time, if we were not judged already, how is it that we would be caught up to meet Him in the air? The dead in Christ and the living in Christ at His coming, at His second coming. If you're in Christ, if you are in God's family, if you are worthy in His eyes of judgment, then you will arise to meet Him in the air. Judgment follows death. And of course, we know there's more than one judgment. We know that there is for sure a judgment at the very end, maybe not for everybody, maybe not for all peoples of all times, but there is a great white throne judgment at the very end. Can you hope to avoid death by having great wealth, perhaps, or fame, like Henry Ford, the Rockefellers, Elvis Presley? Can you hope to avoid death by having great spiritual lives, like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Daniel, Paul, Peter, James, all the popes that have ever been, Billy Graham? Can you hope to avoid death by great political power, such as the father of our nation, George Washington? Or, to me, the greatest president in my lifetime, Ronald Reagan? Is that going to help? How about having great allergies to even the thought of death? Is that going to somehow count? Even the slightest possibility of death. What about, is it going to matter if we live healthy lives, eat healthy, exercise, avoid risk, avoid working long, hard hours, getting real good rest at night? Is that going to help avoid death and judgment? I don't think so. All people want to avoid death, or the possibility of death, as long as possible. But nothing will prevent death for most, and for all, judgment. Judgment will follow death. We'll be judged according to the truth that's in God's Word. All the truth. Let's see what Romans 2, let's look there. And I have the whole chapter, but we won't read it all. Therefore, you have no excuse, every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? I'm saying to you today, evaluate your lives. Evaluate it by the Word of God. And don't let your eyes and your mind tell you that regardless of what you're doing, you're okay. You may be, but you also may not be. Judge from the eyes of what you know is truth by reading God's Word. Need to make sure that what God has set forth in his Ten Commandments, that is the royal law of God. How are you doing in that regard? You're going to be judged according to your deeds, regardless of what mainstream Christianity would tell you. You're going to be judged. according to your deeds. Look at Romans 2 and 6. Who will render to each person according to his deeds. And of course, we're talking about judgment. Each one. There won't be any pets or partiality in judgment. Let's look at verse 11 through 13. For there is no partiality with God, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Can anything be any clearer? What about wealth, politics, race? Those kind of things. Will God show extra mercy and forgiveness to those? Let's look at the Romans 2 and 16. On the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. The judge and the appointed date. The final verdict. Let's look at Acts 17 and verse 30. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Let's look at God's or Yahweh's provisions in this regard, for the ones who are maybe still wondering about having evaluated themselves and how they stand before their Creator. The first on the list is God had an only begotten Son. And part of His plan was that His Son die on the cross, shed His blood, and that blood sacrifice at Passover time that particular year, that is what saves us, is belief that the price has been paid by Yeshua, shedding His blood on the cross. And Yahweh's plan that we are aware of that we want to be a child of God. We want to be in the family of God. We want to be found worthy on judgment day, worthy to be where Yahweh and Yeshua is, worthy being in the family of God. The first of Yahweh's provision is Yeshua providing the sacrifice that allows this. Let's look at the facts. Who was this for? Ezekiel 18 and 20. This was for all mankind. The person who sins will die. The son will not bear the punishment for the father's iniquity, nor will the father bear the punishment for the son's iniquity. The righteousness of the righteous will be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked will be upon himself. Do you understand? You're going to account for your own self. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Sin is a transgression of the law. And sin for all times requires a sacrifice, the shedding of blood. So it is today for each one of us. Christ died for each one of us. If he didn't, we have no hope, as Paul said. God, Yahweh, and Yeshua so loved the world in John 3:16 that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. That's part of the plan. Can anything or anyone separate you from the love of God and provisions that he has made for you to just grasp, to come to your senses and realize that God has this plan and he wants you to be aware of it. He wants you to accept it. He wants you to be in his family. He wants you to be found worthy in that day of judgment. Can anything or anyone separate you from the love of God? And the answer is yes. Only you. Only you. Rejecting Yahweh and Yeshua. Let's look at Romans in closing. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yeshua of Nazareth. And I'd like to say for not only the ones here, but the ones that are listening to this by internet, I'd like to say it's not a real, real difficult thing to start the process of your growth with Yahweh, of your growth with your Creator. And what you do is simply to say, God, I thank you for your plan. I thank you for your giving your only begotten Son and him shedding his blood as that perfect sacrificial Passover Lamb of God. And I do accept Yahweh as my Father and Yeshua as the Son who made the sacrifice. And I want to be in the family of God. I accept Yahweh and his plan for mankind. If you would you stand with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day and thank you for this message that you had for us. And Heavenly Father, we ask that anyone hearing this will come to their senses and know that you loved us and you want us to be literal sons and daughters in your family and to be with you and your only begotten Son, Yeshua, forever and ever and ever. And in Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. And I'd like to have us read the blessings of the Lord to us today. Let's read together. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Isn't that wonderful words?